for today. I'm your host, Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor at First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries, heard every weekday at 6 p.m. Central Time on American Family Radio. Well, I am joined in the studio today by my lovely wife, Debbie, and we are going to talk about today something that is really, really important. It's important for people to understand. It's important for parents, for moms and dads and kids. And it is the challenge of parenting through the stages of a child's life. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." I believe it was James Dobson who had the book, Parenting Isn't for Cowards.
Amen on that.
So, Debbie, why is that true? Why is parenting not for cowards?
Parenting takes the view of a marathon, not a sprint. Parenting is exhausting, and it is not for the faint of heart. It is super easy to just acquiesce to your children if they're misbehaving when you're tired and you just don't have the energy to do it yourself. And so it takes a lot of courage to continue on in the battle, continue on in the fight, and to take that long look at where you want the end result to be and know that you've got to do the hard work all along the way to get there.
Now, our oldest daughter, Jill, is getting ready in June to be 35 years old.
How can that be?
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
So Jill will be 35, and then Amy is 32, and Sarah is 30.
Right.
And we have gone through lots of stages with our kids in this thing called parenting, and we haven't done a perfect job. There is no perfect parent. God is the only perfect parent, and God has a lot of kids that don't obey Him. So encouragement for us in parenting, and I think most parents, you know, as I look back over our parenting, your first child, most of us don't know what we're doing.
Oh, goodness, not at all.
So we read books, perhaps, and I listen to Focus on the Family a lot, and trying to learn how to be a good dad and how to be a good husband. But today I want us to talk about the stages of parenting, because one size doesn't fit all.
And it never goes away while we're on this earth.
The
parenting, right.
Yeah, right. You're a parent until the day you die, and your kids need you as their mom, as their dad, until the day that God takes us home. But we have to adapt our parenting style. We adapt our style to our kids, their individual bents, and then we adapt our style to the stage that they're in life. So, Debbie, as we think about the stages, I ran across this in my studies. There are four stages or four phases of a child's life and of a parent's interaction with his child in life. And the first stage is commander. Well, just to give a preview, what are the four stages? It's commander, and then it's coach, and then it's counselor, and then it's consultant, unpaid.
Right.
But let's talk about that first stage. You're the commander, and you have this little one brought into your home. I still remember when Jill was born at Houston Northwest Hospital, and I called. I came to see you. They had taken the baby away with the C-section. You know, I got to see her. But then I came back, and I called the nurse, "Can you bring in our daughter?" And I just felt like, man, I'm a kid. How do I have a daughter? But we bring her home from the hospital, and that somebody put that stork in our yard that said it's a girl, mm-hmm. and it was so exciting. But then the challenge of parenting comes in.
Right.
And the nurse doesn't come home with us, and we can't call and say, okay, you take her now. We want to sleep.
Right.
So it's us, and we're in that commander phase. What does that mean to you?
The commander phase to me was the awesome responsibility of 100% care for that child. That child being under my command, under my jurisdiction, and that us together, we were responsible for her in every way. We were responsible for her physically. We were responsible for training her up. You just had all these responsibilities on the horizon. And those first years in parenting are very exhausting on you physically, because it's just a physically demanding job. And it requires a selflessness that you probably weren't aware that you needed prior to that. But it requires really have an overarching game plan as a commander of what you feel your victory needs to be. Mm-hmm. Because you have to be very strategic, and you have to think very long term, that those little things as a toddler that you might want to just let slip and fall through the cracks, those can really come back to haunt you when a 13-year-old is doing those things. And so you have to be, as the commander, you have to be very strategic in your parenting, especially in those really, really early formative years.
Well, I think it's important to have those boundary lines. Kids do well with boundaries, with schedules.
Right.
You were great at that, because in our relationship, Debbie is naturally kind of more of the disciplined person, and she didn't mind being bad cop. I like being good cop. But kids need to have good cop, bad cop.
Right. And they brings need, balance.
It brings balance to them, and they need to know what is in bounds and what is out of bounds. Because if there's a fuzzy line that is the out of bounds marker, then that makes them kind of insecure. I don't know if this is right or wrong. My parents aren't really telling me this. And in that early stage, it's probably 0 to 6 years old, or
5 or 6, probably
something like that. You lay down the laws for them, and you let them know this is acceptable behavior, this is unacceptable behavior. And for us, one of our tools for discipline was a wooden spoon.
Right.
And so the Bible says, "He who withholds discipline hates his son, but he who loves his child disciplines him diligently." And so it's important to discipline your child. It's important that they know, hey, this is wrong, and when you do wrong, there's going to be a consequence to that wrong. And and so with the girls, I would give them a spanking with that wooden spoon, and it doesn't have to be super hard, just enough to get their attention.
Well, and it wasn't even instantaneous. They always had warnings. Okay, hey, this is not acceptable. If this happens again, then this is going to be the consequence to
right.
it. So it was never this impulsive, out of anger. It was never done that way. It was done very strategically.
Right. And it's important. And the kids knew it. And they knew that if you said, hey, you do this again and we're pulling out the wooden spoon, then that would get their attention, hopefully. And if it didn't, then they would get a spanking. If you don't spank your kids, if you don't discipline your kids, if there's no penalty for disobedience and rebellion, and I'm not talking about your kid just does something wrong, but they deliberately do something wrong, then the kids just keep doing something wrong.
And I know our youngest daughter, Sarah, she was actually our hardest one to discipline, because she was never willfully disobedient. As a child, she just would get caught up in doing what she was doing, and she was so caught up in having fun. She has always been the life of the party since her birth, and so she would just neglect to do things that she had said she was going to do, not because she thought in her heart, you know, Mom told me I have to do this, and I am just not doing it.
Right.
I mean, so there was not this rebelliousness within her so much as she just got caught up in her activities. And so as a result of that, it was very hard to discipline that. And we had to teach her, okay, responsibility comes before fun. So if you do not take care of your responsibilities before you have all your fun, there are going to be consequences for that. But that was difficult. And then our middle daughter was extremely sensitive. So you could say a sharp word to her, give her a sharp look, and she would just kind of melt.
Right.
You know?
Because she wanted to please.
And then as normal with firstborns, They're usually more obstinate and
bullheaded.
And more bullheaded. And so our oldest, she took more corralling. And yeah. she we had to have our thumb on her a little bit more.
We did. Proverbs 22, verse 15 says, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him." So moms and dads, if you love your kids and you start this when they're young, if you really love them, love does not, it's not permissive. Love sets the boundary markers and love says, hey, when you're out of bounds, I'm throwing a flag and there's going to be a consequence to that. And you're going to get a spanking. Now, we never did it with our hand. We always did it with the spoon. So it was always the, hey, that spoon is the bad guy. Your mom and dad love you. Mm-hmm. And we put the the rod of correction on the seat of understanding and to get your attention because we love you and we don't want you to live life outside of the bounds that God has set.
I think one thing, too, as a parent of young children that we had to learn was that If you place a boundary there, you have to be consistent in following through on the discipline if that boundary's broken. And sometimes that's difficult. For instance, I can remember one time we were in the grocery store. I had all three kids. We were in the grocery store, and my cart was full. I mean, it was full of two kids in there, one walking beside me, and then full of groceries. And it had been an exhausting grocery trip. And I can't remember which one of them acted out, but I remember saying to them, if you do that again, we are out of here. And we're going to go straight to the house and you're going to get a spanking. Well, they pushed me on that because they thought, yeah, she's not going to do that because we have all this food here, right? She's not going to do it. But they did it one more time and I had to go to the manager and say, hey, save this cart for me. I'll be back to get it. I've got to go home and take care of something. Mm-hmm. And it only took about one time of doing that to where they knew, hey, if mom says this, that is what's going to happen.
Yeah, mom doesn't play.
Yeah, mom doesn't play.
And Debbie is, I used to call her Iron Will, because if you match wills with Debbie, when the girls would do that, Jill did it more than Amy or Sarah.
But, well, I think they learned from her.
Right.
You know?
But it's like, you're going to lose that battle. So when Jill was little and she was deciding, I don't want to sleep and I'm going to cry in the middle of the night, you'd be like, we're not bringing her in bed. And I don't care how much she cries, she would cry and throw up.
Right.
And you'd clean the throw up, and then it'd be, you're back in bed. And we taught her, hey, you sleep through the night. And she does, even to this day, at 35 years old, she sleeps through the night. So that's a wonderful thing. But that's the commander phase, so critical in those early years, mom and dad, for you to be a consistent disciplinarian for your children. And as always, I mean, the greatest gift you can give your kids is a solid marriage. And so that is so important for moms and dads to hear. Hey, when you got married, hopefully there weren't, you know, I mean, when you do it the first shot out of the cannon, no kids, you have kept yourself for marriage. That's God's ideal. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge, Hebrews chapter 13. So you get married, you don't have children, you come together, you build the marriage, and then you add children to the marriage. And children are there for a time, and then they leave the home, and then you still have the marriage. That's why it's critical that you don't put all your emphasis on your kids, because they're just passing through. And, you know, Debbie and I are going to be together. We just celebrated 36 years of marriage. And by God's grace, there's going to be many more years to come. But the kids are grown and gone, and it's still just you and me.
You and me, babe.
And so we have to have a good marriage. Well, we're talking about the challenge of parenting through the stages of a child's life. This is Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I am joined by my wife, Debbie. And so when we come back, we're going to talk about those next stages of marriage. You go from commander to coach, from coach to consultant,
or to counselor.
To counselor, and from counselor to consultant. And it's important to work through those stages with your kids so that they can grow up to be independent, godly, happy, well-adjusted people. children. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
In today's world, everybody's a victim. It's okay to blame others for what's wrong in our life, and it's okay to lie or act in violent ways because we're not responsible. The Bible says the opposite is true. We're responsible for our actions. God holds us accountable for how we act. On Judgment Day, we'll stand before God and give an account for our lives. Blaming someone else didn't work for Adam and Eve, and it won't work for us. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Sandy Rios.
The founders, when they wrote the Constitution, for instance, they based their three branches of government on the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They based so much of our law on Christian principles like do not kill, do not steal. It mirrored Judeo-Christian principles as found in the Ten Commandments and other things in Scripture.
Sandy Rios in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Your faith in Christ informs your opinions about everything.
The following are real-life stories from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt.
I used my credit cards as a source of income.
It was not a good situation.
I couldn't pay my bills.
The interest on the cards was really high.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I initially was scared to call, and immediately I felt relief.
They contacted all of our creditors, and they put us on a plan for success.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts and to one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
I've been able to pay off close to $15,000.
We're doing a lot better.
Please pick up the phone and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
It's a godsend.
We're debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'm joined by my wife, Debbie. We're talking about the challenge of parenting through the ages and stages of a child's life. So the first stage, we said, was the commander stage, the commander phase, where we are setting up ground rules for our kids. We're disciplining them in the fear and instruction of the Lord. And hopefully we're setting up that foundation for our children to understand what's in bounds, what's out of bounds, what's acceptable behavior, what's unacceptable behavior. But then when they get to be a grade schooler, then we kind of shift from commander to coach. And Debbie, what does it look like to be a coach in your parents, in your child's life?
Well, I think the Bible calls us as parents to both teach and to train our kids. And teaching them means that we're imparting knowledge to them, that we're imparting different skills to them, that we're letting them see by example what those things look like. But then when we talk about training or coaching them, that's helping them to apply those things that they know and to transfer those over to situations that exist outside the home when it's just them and they're having to make judgments on things and they're having to make decisions. And so it's the the knowledge that you are imparting to them, and it's helping them know how to use it and helping them learn through their mistakes, coaching them through their mistakes, guiding them through maybe some bad decisions that they've made or a situation they didn't handle correctly, and showing them by example how to do that, that a mistake is not, you know, insurmountable, that you can learn from that, that God uses that in your life. And it's a 24/7 responsibility, the coaching.
Right. Well, I think another thing about that coaching phase, and that's probably the grade school years and maybe into the, you know, junior high and stuff like that, they're still just moldable, impressionable kids at that time, and they need to be coached. And one of the things that's critical that I'm seeing couples fail to do, especially in our day and age, is teach their children about honoring and respecting authority. And so a child needs to know, hey, it's in the Big Ten, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, the Bible says, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So a child, right off the bat, they are to learn, hey, mom and dad, we honor them, we respect them. They are God's authority in the home. Because obviously we need to honor and respect God, and a kid learns about God from mom and dad. But if you don't learn to honor and respect your parents, and if parents aren't teaching their kids, hey, we honor and respect authority, so that means your teachers and your principal and your coach and the policeman and the pastor, those key people, kids grow up, they have a hard time honoring and respecting anybody.
Well, and I think we're seeing that in our culture today. I mean, I talk to teachers in the public school system all the time, and even in the early elementary years, that will be the common complaint that teachers have, is that they are just shocked at how disrespectful these young kids are. I mean, kindergartners, first graders, that they're already being so disrespectful to those in authority over them. And I know that in terms of the team of parents, you and I, as we brought our kids up, you were so good at affirming me in front of the girls, meaning that if they were to be disrespectful to me in any way, you just instantly would call them out on it. And that just was not accepted, and it was not tolerated in any way, shape, or form. And I think, you know, we really had some real non-negotiables with our girls as they were growing up. And the first one was that they would honor and respect us. The second one was that they would respect authority, any authority that was over them, that they would be unselfish and learn to put other people first, and that they would just learn to be kind and compassionate people. And so those things in our home were just non-negotiables. And when we saw them straying from those things, that's where the discipline came into play, to help coach them through those moments that they showed disrespect, or that they showed selfishness, or any of those other characteristics.
Well, and it's really important to teach your children that God is over all authority. So the scripture says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if, for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. So the teacher in your class may not be a great teacher, and there may be times that a parent needs to talk to the teacher or talk to the principal. You don't rail on the teacher or rail on the principal or rail on the coach. You appeal to authority. You don't rail against authority. And if authority is doing something wrong or something criminal or something like that, obviously you address that. But if the teacher says something and the child doesn't like it or whatever, you don't take your child's side and go against the teacher. You teach your children how to respect authority. I think that's part of that coaching phase,
right?
That, hey, this is the way God has set up the world. There will always be authority figures in your life. If you rebel against authority, you know, kind of the last line of authority for a kid that grows up as a juvenile delinquent, doesn't respect his parents, doesn't respect the teachers, the coaches, the people in his life. Well, then he runs into the police. And now what are we saying? That people don't respect the police. They call them names. They spit on them. They go after them and attack them. It's just awful. And so that's a big part of being a good parent, is to teach your children how to respect authority.
I think another key element is, as a coach is with the team, a coach is going to have some rules. He's going to have some discipline. He's going to do some things that are going to cause the people on his team to get angry and frustrated with him. They're not going to like it. They're not going to always like the coaching. But they have to adhere to the coaching if they want to be on the court playing. They
right.
have to do what the coach says. And I think in our culture today, so often parents are so concerned about wanting to be their child's friend that they don't do their job as a parent. And I have always said that you have to earn the right to be your child's friend in adulthood. And the way you do that is that you parent them when they're young. If you parent them when they're young and you don't try to be their friend, you're their parent, that earns you the right to be their friend in adulthood. And so I think that's something that is so grossly overlooked in our culture, because people just, they don't want their kids to not like them. They don't want to be the bad guy. They want to be the cool mom. They want to be the cool dad.
Right.
And it's so short-sighted. It
right.
is so short-sighted. And it is really doing your child such a disservice in the length of their life. You know, if you just look at that one little window, great. But when you look at the movie that is their life, you're doing them a huge disservice by strictly trying to be their friend and not be the disciplinarian and not be the parent and do the hard stuff.
Right. And I think one of the things that will help parents is that get buy-in on the front end from your kids. Here are the rules of the house. Here is what's in bounds. Here is what's out of bounds. And that goes from when they're little to when they get to be older. You're in grade school. They're in middle school. Hey, this is what's required of you. Here are your chores. Here is the setup for an allowance. You get this if you do right. You don't get it if you don't do right. You get privileges if you obey. You lose privileges if you disobey. But if they can see it, I remember we had stuff on the refrigerator for our kids to see. Okay, this is what's in bounds. This is what's out of bounds. So they know going into it, hey, if I do X, that's out of bounds. I'm going to pay a penalty for that. And that way it's fair. You know, kids love that word fair. Well, that's not fair.
Right.
When you have more than one child, they really have a strong sense of fairness, because if you're light on one kid and heavy on another, they don't like that at all. So that can really help. And then, Debbie, as you said, you have to be consistent.
Right.
You have to keep applying the rules of the home to your child's life, so you don't just blow it off. Because then in a kid's mind, well, these boundary markers mean nothing.
And I think, too, the discipline, number one, has to fit the crime. And number two, the discipline has to bring about the desired result. If you're disciplining your child and it's only leading them to more frustration and more rebellion, you haven't hit on the right discipline yet. And we learned with our kids, we had to discipline them all differently. It wasn't a one-size-fits-all discipline program. You know, with our oldest daughter, if we took away her electronics, it was like we took away the very air that she breathed, you know. And our middle daughter, if we were to say, okay, hey, you're grounded to your room, well, that was her utopia. She was an artist. She would just stay in there and draw. She'd be giddy having to stay
right.
in her room. So her punishment was, you can never be by yourself. You have to be with people all the time. You cannot stay in your room. So
right.
you have to hit
tailor
on the right thing. Yeah, you have to tailor the discipline to make sure that it brings about the desired result.
So from commander mm-hmm. to coach to counselor. Now, a counselor, your kid is growing up at this stage. So they're high schoolers. They're kind of needing to be more independent. And, you know, the goal of parenting is to train up a child in the way he should go so that when he's older, he walks in the ways of the Lord. He's trained in the discipline instruction of the Lord. And he knows, she knows how to make wise, godly decisions that are independent of mom and dad. What we see so often is as kids leave the home and go off to college, then we find that they didn't have their own personal faith. They just had secondhand faith. They had mom and dad faith. Well, mom and dad faith doesn't help you when you're faced with the temptations of independence at college. And that's why we see many kids, they go off the rails when they get out from under the home because there wasn't the right job done, perhaps. No, you can do everything right as a parent. You raise a kid that has his own will. And so, but if you train them, the general rule in Proverbs, if you train them in the way that they should go, generally, as a rule, when they get older, they will not depart from it.
And so, it goes back to developing their character, because their character is those decisions that you make that continue to line up with God's word when no one else is around. So what are those core values that they have deep within them that whether you're there or not, whether a teacher is there or not, whether anyone is there to be watching, what kind of decisions are they going to make? Are they going to line up with God's word? And I think it's important to focus in on those character development skills.
Right. And so what does a child need to learn character-wise? Needs to learn about honesty.
Right.
Needs to learn about integrity. Needs to learn about respect for authority and respect for other people's things. To treat people with kindness.
A work ethic.
Having a strong work ethic. Those things are critical. And that has to be within them because mom and dad, you're not watching your kids 24/7, especially as they get older and they go off to school and they're just in high school, they're with their buddies. Kids now, the temptations are so much greater than when you and I were growing up. We didn't have a smartphone. We didn't have internet.
We had dumb phones. They were just phones.
Yeah, it was just a phone. You know, my iPhone, the worst thing about my iPhone is the phone part. It does all these other things, but it's like Amy's phone, our middle daughter. We can never talk to her on FaceTime because her phone keeps cutting out. It's like, that's kind of like the basic of the phone. So anyway,
but I think, too, Jeff, that counseling element means that we don't necessarily provide them with all the answers. We help guide them to find the answers for themselves. And when they do make mistakes, we help lead and teach through those mistakes and counsel them through those mistakes to see, okay, if I get in this situation again, note to self, I need to make sure I don't respond like this, I respond like this. And that's all part of the counseling. So it's not necessarily dictating or commanding like we did in that first phase. We're still having to have rules in place, absolutely.
Right.
But we've expanded the border. We've expanded their boundary. And as long as they stay and are trustworthy inside this larger boundary, okay, well, then we can keep expanding that and keep expanding that because we do want them to completely gain independence for us to be well-balanced, healthy, emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually adults. That's our end game. That's what we want.
Right, and in that counseling phase, we cannot bail our kids out when they make a bad decision. There have to be consequences to that bad decision. If it's financial or if it's, hey, you lost the car, buddy, because you did this or that. You know, we have a family member that kept wrecking cars and mom and dad kept providing another car for him to wreck. And it's like that, you're not helping that kid. You need to have some consequences that, okay, you wrecked the car. Well, you don't have any wheels. You're going to have to earn money to be able to buy your own car.
Well, and to teach them that basic principle that you get to make your decisions, but you don't get to choose the consequences of those decisions.
Right.
And that's a hard thing to learn. And most of us have to learn that the hard way.
Right. So You're free to choose. You're not free to choose the consequences of your choice. That's just a truism in life. God gives us a free will. You're free to choose, but you're not free to choose the consequences of that choice. Well, we're talking about parenting through the ages and stages of life, and we're saying that you start out as a commander, and then you go to coach, and then you go to consultant, and then you go lastly to...
Counselor, you
I keep
that
missing
one.
That.
You do, yeah.
So then you go to consultant.
Counselor's our last, consultant is our last guest.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that when we come back from the break, and we'll be taking your calls 1-888-589-8840. That's 1-888-589-8840. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go away.
They should face some sort of consequences. At the very least, what you put on there should be true. And if it's not true, then it should be actionable.
Major social media outlets are finding ways to block the conservative evangelical viewpoint.
The American Family Association will no longer be canceled. Announcing AFA Streaming, our own video streaming platform, which will allow access to all AFA video content. AFA Streaming is now available. Learn more at afa.net.
This is Debbie Wuthnow, president of iVoter Guide. Elections can be discouraging, but 2 Timothy tells us God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. In 2022, we have an opportunity to create tangible change in America, but we have to vote for people who share our biblical values. iVoterGuide.com has researched thousands of candidates and can help you find those most aligned with your values. Go to iVoterGuide.com.
We're going to walk the streets of Colonial Williamsburg. Hello, everybody. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to see Colonial Williamsburg as well as Jamestown and Yorktown. Without those three places, I wouldn't be talking to you today. It's a very, very important place, places rather, to see in our country's history. We're also going to be visiting our nation's capital and George Washington's Mount Vernon on a separate tour. Now, these tours, Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, and then the separate one, Washington, D.C., and Mount Vernon, are two different tours, but they're back-to-back. So if you want to do both, you can go with us from Saturday to Saturday in June and September. For the dates, the cost, the itinerary, everything you need to know, just go to spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Judy Goodell and her husband set up a charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation.
What we love about it is that it represents stewardship principles that we feel strongly about. So we got very, very excited about this opportunity.
With a charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation, an AFA supporter can guarantee a permanent monthly income, as well as supporting the American Family Association for years to come.
We do feel convicted about really praying about all that God has really blessed us with. And so many people we know just want to leave it all to their kids. And we know the danger of that. And so we just are really just trying to pray through it, and God gave us great confirmation as we prayed that this would be a good use of the Lord's money.
Find out if a charitable gift annuity is right for you at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation at afa.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm here in the studio with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about parenting through the ages and stages of life. So the first stage is the commander stage, where you're telling your child what here are the boundary markers, here's what you need to do, and there's discipline. It's discipline heavy in this stage, physical discipline, the rod of discipline. Then there is the coaching phase, where you're training and teaching your child more about life and how to handle life. Debbie, I was thinking about how you did such a great job with Amy, our middle daughter, when she was having trouble learning how to read.
Yes.
And you spent so much time with her, and she went from being a terrible reader to the person winning the award for reading the most books.
Well, and she just could not, they taught whole word reading, not phonetics, and she just could not get it. And so we spent over an hour every night reading, and she ended up being salutatorian of her high school graduating class.
Right.
So
yeah. It worked.
So it worked, yeah.
It worked. So commander, coach, counselor, we're trying to get our kids to make independent, wise, independent decisions. And then from counselor, we go to consultant. Mm-hmm. That's when the bird has left the nest. Mm-hmm. And parents that have older kids, they know that when your kid graduates from high school, nothing is ever the same.
That's right.
They're roughly 18 years old at that time. They are more of an adult. They go off to college, so many of them, or they go off to military, or they start a full-time job. Well, they're considered an adult now, and they need to be making adult decisions. They'll come home, especially our kids all went to college. They would come home, but it was never quite the same.
Right. And I know that last semester of high school, I think, really prepares a parent for them to leave, because by the time they're done with that, you want them to leave because they are, you know, getting more independent just in their own thought processes. And, you know, I want to do what I want to do.
Right.
And, you know, I'm going to be an adult and blah, blah, blah.
And they get senioritis.
They do.
That last semester bad. I did. And gosh, I think my last semester in high school, I had like four classes, and two of them were PE assistant and office assistant or something like
tough
that.
Year.
And then I got early release, and it was fun. It was just, we'd play basketball and go out to lunch and do fun stuff. But go off to college, and it's never the same after that.
Right.
And when I went off to college, I would come home, and you know, it was fun, but my parents were like, okay, when you're home in the summer, you need to get a job. And then when I graduated in 1984, the University of Texas, I came back home, and I was looking for a job, and my dad was expecting me to pay rent. I was appalled. Why would I pay rent? This is my home.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, but you're older now, and you need to pay rent. And that, he did a wise thing to make me pay rent, because I needed to learn that.
Right.
If you're not going to live on your own, you're going to live here. The whole upstairs is open, but it's going to cost you.
It has a price tag. Well, I know one of the main things in terms to me of importance about this phase of parenting called consultant is that if you think about a business consultant that comes into a company to kind of help guide them, what happens is that consultant doesn't just freely come in. If he's not asked and hired to come in and consult, he doesn't get a paycheck. And so often, because we have been coaching and we've been doing these things with our kids and speaking into their lives so much, we as parents have to have a shift in our mindset that we don't come in and consult unless we're asked to consult. Because if we are just consulting and offering all this advice and we haven't been asked for that with our adult children, it can really cause a lot of tension, and it can cause a breach in the relationship, and it can cost us relationally with our adult children if we're constantly consulting without being asked to consult.
Yeah, and that's hard for a mom and dad. It's hard for dads especially. It's hard for me. Let's just make it real personal.
Let's do.
Because if I see my kids making, my adult children making a decision that I think that's not a good decision, that's not a good financial decision, you need to get settled in a church, you need to do this, you need to do that. It's not my place to just jump in and tell them that.
That's right. And that's so hard for you.
Yes.
But it is, because they're adults now. And again, going back to what we said in the last segment, they alone bear the consequences for those decisions. And so that has to be theirs. And I know that, you know, when you're raising small children, it's exhausting physically. When you are the consultant of adult children, it can be very exhausting emotionally. So it's still, you are still so desperately needed in their lives. But adult children have adult problems. Little children have little children problems.
Right.
And so it can get overwhelming at times, because your heart is still to step in, fix it, make everything better, you know, and you're just simply not able to do that anymore because they're adults.
Right. It's much easier to fix a skinned knee than
a broken heart.
Right. A broken heart with a marriage issue or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, the number to call in is 1-888-589-8840. That's 1-888-589-8840. We're talking about the subject of parenting and how important it is to be a good and godly parent. Debbie, a friend of ours, Jana Mayo, told us one day, excellent advice. She said, there is one word for every mom and dad to know when you have children. It is the word behave.
Right.
Once you have kids, you give up your right to be an idiot.
Right. To just do stupid stuff.
Yeah. You need to behave. You need to be an example for your children so that they can look at mom and dad and say, mom and dad are honorable people. Mom and dad are honest people. Mom and dad are respectable people. That is critical for them to see. And if they don't see it, then they're going to become what you are, and they're going to see, well, you know, mom and dad talk out of both sides of their mouth. And
they're going to become more of what you are.
Right.
That's what statistics tell us.
Right. And it's important. And, you know, the Bible tells us to be an example to those who believe and to be an example at home. Now, here's the thing, puts Christianity to the test, because are we an example at home? We can be a certain way, act a certain way at church, but your kids see the real you. And it is critical to be consistent, to be genuine. Your kids aren't expecting you to be perfect because they know you're not perfect, but they want you to be real and genuine and authentic. And that is critical. And that plays out at home. Well, we have April from Texas on the line. April, welcome to Real Truth for Today. April, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I wanted some advice. I'm divorced, and I have a 13-year-old daughter who has chosen to go live with her father because he has no rules or boundaries, and she gets what she wants. And so it's very heartbreaking for me, and she's not communicating with me in any way, shape, or form.
I hate that, April. That is heartbreaking for sure, and it puts you in a difficult spot. It's kind of typical for a 13-year-old girl to say, "I want to go where there are no rules." They don't see; they're too young to see that rules are important as long as they're connected to relationship. But Debbie, what would you say to April? How does she respond to that situation?
Well, I think first and foremost to just be constantly reminding yourself that your daughter belongs to the Lord and that He loves her more than you or your ex ever could, and to just continue to keep surrendering her to the Lord and just trusting the Lord to protect her, to provide for her, to keep her from being influenced in a negative way, and to just shield her, even though she is living in a situation where there aren't the kind of boundaries that you feel there need to be there, but to just go back to entrusting her to the Lord, daily giving her back over to the Lord. And that's easier said than done. So I don't say that flippantly, because that's very, very difficult to do. But just reminding yourself of that fundamental truth that God has a love for her that is deeper. He has a plan for her life that supersedes any circumstance, and that He will take care of her.
Well, and I think too, April, is obviously you keep praying for her, but pray that God would put a hedge of protection around her, mm-hmm. that He wouldn't allow anything to come into her life that would really, really hurt her on a long-term basis, that He would just be gracious in that way, and that you would keep letting her know that, hey, your mom loves you, and I'm praying for you, and you're special and precious to me, and so that she would just know that. But it's a difficult situation, and You know, one of the reasons that God hates divorce, he loves the divorced, E-D. He hates divorce because divorce rips people apart, and divorce creates difficult situations, ones that you're going through right now. So is that helpful to you, April?
Yeah, and it's pretty much what I've been doing, you know, just fighting the spiritual fight is really all I can do. But yeah, that's what I do every day, you know, pray for her and just reach out and let her know that I'm here and I love her and I'm here if she needs me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and two, I talked Sunday about peace, the peace of Palm Sunday, where Jesus said, if you even you knew the things that which make for peace. And we can enjoy as believers, we have peace with God because we're related to him now. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we can also have the peace of God. And the scripture says, be anxious for nothing, worry about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all comprehension, all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so as you keep just turning her over to the Lord, when you feel worried and fearful about her and what's going on with her, just keep saying, Lord, she belongs to you, and I turn her to you, and I trust you with her. God will do what he promised and give you peace. So thank you so much for calling today, April. We have Ted from Texas. Ted, you're on the line. Go ahead.
Hello. My daughter has been succumbed to the demonic influence of the television. She decided that she wanted to be a guy and changed her name. And it's really difficult to know what to say to her on that. I'm kind of going against everything that the media is saying to her. And I just wondered if you might have some advice on that, please.
Yes. How old is she, Ted?
18.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm very sorry to hear that. The program that we did yesterday with Ricky Shillette, who is the executive director of Living Hope Ministries, he deals with people who are struggling in the area of same-sex attraction and gender dysphoria. Hey, I think I should be, you know, I'm a woman, but I should be a man, or I'm a man, or I should be a woman. That kind of thing. I think that program is very, very helpful to go back and listen to that. You can listen to all the programs at AFR.net and just look under podcast, Real Truth for Today. And the same thing with her. You just have to pray. And, you know, if you come on strong, typically in that scenario, you push her the other way. And so, you know, I don't want to listen to Dad. I'm going to do what I want to do type thing. And so I think you got to be gentle but firm, and you got to let her know that, hey, I love you. This would be devastating to your life. If you fight the person that God has created you to be, you're never going to have peace. You're never going to find satisfaction and joy in life. It's not found by fighting God. It's found by surrendering and submitting to God.
Well, I think, too, it's planting those seeds, but ultimately the responsibility of a heart change in her is not your responsibility. That's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. And so you just continue to seek his face, and you continue to intercede on her behalf before the Father, and you entrust her to God and for the Holy Spirit to do a work in her that only he can do. It is not, you're not able to do it. And so when you start to take on the burden of responsibility of something only the Lord can do, that's when you get so weighed down and so discouraged. And to just trust the Holy Spirit to do that and continue to seek that out.
And people struggling in that area, Ted, you know, they're getting affirmation on the other side. And so the enemy of our souls has his minions and his people that are lined up to tell her, yeah, that's right, go for it. That's how you're supposed to be. You're the one in charge, and you're the one that makes that decision. And so they're receiving lots of affirmation in that way. And so we just need to pray that God would prepare her heart and turn her heart back to Him. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Real Truth for Today. And we've been talking about parenting, and I just want to encourage you in your parenting. Don't give up. It's a struggle, but God is faithful. God bless you, and make it a great day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.